The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources online. Early voting in North Carolina started October 16 to November 1, 2025, from disabilityrightsnc.org, published October 22. It's the second week of early voting for this year's local elections, which means more early voting sites have opened up around the state. Don't forget, you can vote at any early voting site in your county. Use the early voting sites tool from the State Board of Elections to find your sites. https://www.ncsbe.gov/voting/upcoming-election. For everything else you need to know about voting in this year's election, check out this NC Voter Guide from You Can Vote, a one-stop voter shop with info and resources about registration. Same-day registration is available during early voting. Voter ID, the offices and candidates on the ballot, and much more at https://www.youcanvote.org/voter-guide. Early voting ends Saturday, November 1 at 3 p.m., so don't wait. Make your early voting plan today. Learn more about DRNC's accessible voting work at the hot link. I followed the ncsbe.gov link, and here is what I found. In the banner at the top, early voting has begun. In person, early voting is now taking place in hundreds of municipalities across NC. If you're eligible, you will find a sample ballot at Voter Search Hotlink, an official website of the state of North Carolina. Help for Voters with Disabilities Overview. On this page, you will find accessible voting options and assistance available to voters with disabilities. We are committed to making voting as accessible as possible for all North Carolina residents. To let us know how we can improve voting accessibility, call us at 866-522-4723, toll-free, or 919-814-0700. You can also email us at elections.sboe@ncsbe.gov. Find our policy for alternative formats and contact information for our ADA coordinator at North Carolina State Board of Elections Accessibility Policy for Alternative Formats. Accessible voting sites and assistance. Federal and state laws require early voting locations and election day polling sites to be accessible. Find details about accessible voting equipment and receiving voting assistance at Accessible Voting Sites Hotlink. Are you unable to enter the voting site? Curbside voting is available for eligible individuals. For more information, visit Curbside Voting Hotlink. Accessible absentee voting for blind and visually impaired voters. If you are a blind or visually impaired voter, you may request, mark, and return an accessible absentee ballot online through the NC Absentee Ballot Portal. It is compatible with screen readers and allows for a digital or typed signature. Learn how it works at Accessible Absentee Voting Hotlink. The deadline to request an accessible absentee ballot is 2 weeks before Election Day. Assistance for facility residents. If you live at a facility such as a hospital, clinic, or nursing home, find out how to receive assistance with mail-in voting and other services provided by a multipartisan assistance team, MAT, at the Assistance for Voters in Care Facilities Hotlink. Related content, the NC Absentee Ballot Portal Hotlink. Here's a new group for me, Disability in North Carolina. That's Disability : I, capital N, North Carolina. 2025 events, Business to Business Meeting, Empower Neurodiverse Talent with Mind View. In today's evolving workplace, embracing neurodiversity isn't just a matter of inclusion. It's a strategic advantage. DINC's Business Number 2 Business Meeting will explore how MindView, a powerful mind mapping and project management tool, helps neurodiverse individuals thrive by aligning with their unique cognitive strengths. When? November 12, 2025, from 3:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Where? B2B meetings are virtual. Use link below to register. Register at https://lp.constantcontactpages.com/ev/reg/4HBPFUR. And I will read more at that link. Business number two, business meeting. Empower neurodiverse talent with MindView. In today's evolving workplace, embracing neurodiversity isn't just a matter of inclusion. It's a strategic advantage. The INC's business-to-business meeting will explore how MindView, a powerful mind mapping and project management tool, helps neurodiverse individuals thrive by aligning with their unique cognitive strengths. From ADHD and autism to dyslexia and beyond, many neurodivergent professionals benefit from visual structure, reduced cognitive load, and flexible workflows. MindView transforms traditional task management into a dynamic visual experience, making it easier to organize thoughts, plan projects, and communicate ideas. Join us to discover how technology can be a bridge, not a barrier, to unlocking the full potential of neurodiverse talent. Attendees will learn how MindView supports diverse thinking styles through visual mapping, timelines, and Gantt charts, G-A-N-T-T. Real-world examples of how individuals overcome blank page syndrome and procrastination, how employees will stay focused, organized, and on task, driving measurable improvements in productivity and workflow efficiency. November 12, 2025 to 3:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, where B2B meetings are virtual, use link below to register. There is no charge to attend to B2B meetings. However, registration is required. From ncdhhs.gov, North Carolina celebrates the 80th anniversary of National Disability Employment Awareness Month. Governor Josh Stein, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, and the North Carolina Council on Developmental Disabilities, along with members of the community, celebrated October as National Disability Employment Awareness Month on Friday at a reception at the Executive Mansion in Raleigh. The event highlighted the personal stories of workers with disabilities and employers who are building a strong and disability-inclusive workforce in North Carolina. Please see photos of the event at the hot link. Today, I was proud to sign a proclamation in English and in Braille, proclaiming National Disability Employment Awareness Month, said Governor Josh Stein. This proclamation highlights the contributions of people with disabilities are making in workplaces all across North Carolina, including in state government. I am committed to fighting for the success of all North Carolinians. For more than 100 years, North Carolina's vocational rehabilitation program has helped North Carolinians with disabilities explore, prepare for, find, and keep competitive jobs in the community. The VR program also provides no-cost services to employers seeking to build a disability-inclusive workforce where everyone has an opportunity to contribute and thrive. Over the last decade, NCDHHS has increased access to employment services and resources for people who face significant barriers to employment through initiatives like Inclusion Works and pilot projects like Project Spark and Bridge to Success, among others. These initiatives provide evidence-based supports like peer mentoring, wraparound case management services, and additional funding for transportation and long-term supportive services, so people have the support they need to be successful in jobs that they are good at and enjoy doing within the community. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about 1 in 4 people living in the United States have some type of disability. Annually, North Carolina's vocational rehabilitation programs help more than 25,000 clients, including those with physical, sensory, intellectual, and developmental disabilities, as well as behavioral health and substance use disorders. Overcome disability-related barriers to successful employment. There is enormous mutual benefit for employers and candidates with disabilities who want to work, said Chris Egan, EGAN, NCDHHS Assistant Secretary of Employment and Community Access. From the workforce development standpoint, employers across North Carolina who recognize and value this skilled, untapped workforce experience very positive impact when they hire and retain individuals with disabilities to meet their business needs. The North Carolina Council on Developmental Disabilities recently held listening sessions for the disability community across the state, from Lumberton and Wilmington to Boone and Asheville. Everywhere we met with people with disabilities who love their jobs and others with disabilities eager to work. Employers regularly tell us people with disabilities make the best employees, said Tally Wells, executive director of the North Carolina Council on Developmental Disabilities. All of us know how important work with decent wages is to our independence and security. We are thrilled to be with the governor, legislators from both sides of the aisle, and people with disabilities from across the state today to celebrate disability employment. Our vision and mission is that every person with a disability who wants to work will have the opportunity to do so in meaningful jobs that offer fair pay and true inclusion in their communities, said Kelly Crosby, C-R-O-S-B-I-E, Master of Social Work, LCSW, Director of the NCDHHS Division of Mental Health, Developmental Disabilities, and Substance Use Services. People with disabilities are skilled, capable, and vital members of our workforce. They deserve equal access to opportunity and workplaces that value and respect their contributions. In the U.S., the unemployment rate for people with disabilities of working age, those between the ages of 16 to 64, is double that of people without disabilities. In 2024, more than 4,000 clients with disabilities successfully exited the vocational rehabilitation program by achieving their goal for competitive integrated employment, CIE. The vocational rehabilitation team also provides a variety of no-cost services to businesses, like recruitment and onboarding support, retention services to keep valuable employees with a disability on the job, as well as training and consultations for employers who want to build a diverse, disability-inclusive workforce. To learn more about employees and their work experiences in North Carolina, please click here for our National Disability Employment Month blog post. That's a hot link. To learn more about the policies and programs that affect the MHIDDSU-TBI community, register for the NCDHHS Division of Mental Health, Developmental Disabilities, and Substance Use Services side-by-side monthly webinar series at the hot link. These sessions bring consumers, families, advisory groups, local management entities, managed care organizations, members, and partner organizations together in one virtual place to better understand and improve our system. The following paragraphs are all of the above in Spanish. From iAccessibility.net, Accessibility Review of OpenAI's New Atlas Browser on Mac. Posted October 21st by Taylor Arndt, A-R-N-D-T. What is ChatGPT Atlas? OpenAI has introduced a new browser called ChatGPT Atlas, designed to blend artificial intelligence directly into the browsing experience. Unlike traditional browsers that simply display web pages, Atlas integrates ChatGPT so users can ask questions, summarize pages, draft messages, and perform actions right inside the browser. It is currently available only on macOS, with versions for Windows, iOS, and Android expected later. Atlas is built on the Chromium engine, ensuring compatibility with most websites, and includes a persistent sidebar where users can interact with ChatGPT while they browse. It also includes optional features such as memory, which allows ChatGPT to remember preferences or context across sessions, and agent mode, which enables the AI to help with tasks like filling out forms, writing emails, or comparing products. In short, Atlas aims to be more than a browser. It is designed to be a full AI assistant that helps you read, write, and act on information found online. First launch and onboarding. When I first launched Atlas, I immediately encountered an accessibility issue. VoiceOver announced Aura onboarding background image, which provided no meaningful information about what was on the screen. Despite this, signing in with my ChatGPT account was seamless and worked without issue. Import screen and unlabeled buttons. After signing in, Atlas prompted me to import my data from another browser. On this screen, I found an unlabeled button that VoiceOver simply called Button. The audio description said an illustration of a red button on a blue background. This description was not helpful. in understanding the button's purpose or function. I also continued to hear the phrase aura, onboarding, background, repeated multiple times as I navigated, suggesting that decorative elements were not properly hidden from assistive technology. Homepage experience. Once I reached the homepage, I encountered additional unlabeled icons. VoiceOver read these as aura, icons, new, medium, logo image. These labels made it difficult to know what any of the icons did. This particular screen was designed to help users enable ChatGPT's browser memory, but the accessibility labeling made it unclear how to proceed. Exploring features. On the next screen, Atlas stated that ChatGPT could help draft emails, write reviews, or fill out forms. It mentioned that users could highlight text and click the ChatGPT logo to get started. I was curious about how this feature would work for someone using a screen reader. Atlas also suggested setting it as the default browser and adding it to the dock for quick access. I had seen posts on X mentioning that doing this might grant 7 days of extended limits, so I chose to set it as my default browser. Ongoing accessibility challenges. When exploring the home page, I noticed additional unlabeled buttons before each main option, such as Agent Mode. This pattern of missing or unclear labels made it difficult to understand or efficiently navigate the interface. I also tested Atlas on websites such as Gmail. Unfortunately, when trying to type an email, there was no feedback provided as I entered text. The text field was not working properly with the screen reader, which made writing messages impossible. What I liked about Atlas. Even with the accessibility challenges, I did find parts of Atlas that I genuinely liked. When I opened Gmail, I noticed that ChatGPT provided suggested prompts, such as summarize unread emails and other context-aware actions. This was impressive because it showed that the browser is capable of understanding what a user might want to do on a particular site. For users who rely on screen readers or prefer voice-based interactions, these kinds of intelligent suggestions could make daily tasks much faster and easier. If OpenAI continues to expand on this idea, it could be a major step forward for accessibility and productivity alike. A message to OpenAI. I want to take a moment to say I see real potential in Atlas. I want to use this browser and I want to help make it better. The foundation is strong and the integration with ChatGPT offers something unique that could change how people, including those with disabilities, interact with the web. If OpenAI is open to feedback or testing partnerships, I would love to contribute to improving the accessibility experience in future updates. Final thoughts. ChatGPT Atlas shows promise as a browser that integrates AI assistance into everyday web use, but at this stage it has significant accessibility issues that make it difficult for blind users to navigate effectively. Unlabeled buttons, meaningless image descriptions, and missing text feedback all contribute to a frustrating experience. However, the intelligent prompts and deep integration of ChatGPT demonstrate a clear vision for the future of AI-powered browsing. With better accessibility support, Atlas could become a truly inclusive tool that helps everyone browse, learn, and create more efficiently. Want to see more of my work? If you enjoy reading about accessibility, technology, and AI, I regularly post articles and insights on my Substack. You can find my latest work at https://taylorart.substack.com. That's taylorart.substack.com. I use that space to share my experiences, reviews, and reflections on making technology a more inclusive for everyone. It's nearly November, so the RedCross.org has something to say about Diabetes Awareness Month, breaking myths and saving lives. This November, the American Red Cross is spotlighting diabetes prevention by offering free A1C screenings to blood donors who haven't received the test in the past year. Posted October 22, 2025, diabetes affects millions of Americans and is a leading cause of serious complications, including kidney failure, lower limb amputations, adult blindness, and an increased risk of heart disease and stroke. Yet many people remain unaware they're at risk. Genetics, lifestyle habits, and limited access to health care all contribute to this growing health crisis. This November, in honor of Diabetes Awareness Month and its theme, Taking Action to Prevent Diabetes-Related Health Problems, the American Red Cross is offering free A1C screenings to all blood donors who haven't received the test in the past 12 months. The initiative is already making a difference. Since March, the Red Cross has provided approximately 550,000 A1C screenings, notifying 145,000 individuals about concerning results. About 1 in 5 donors tested had results in the pre-diabetic or diabetic range, clear evidence that early awareness can save lives. This is more than a health campaign, it's a humanitarian effort. By offering free A1C testing, the Red Cross gives donors vital health insights and encourages proactive steps toward better health, especially in communities most affected by diabetes. Why everyone should pay attention. Many people are at risk of developing type 2 diabetes and may be unaware of their condition. Factors such as genetics, lifestyle habits, and limited access to health care contribute to this increased chance. Diabetes remains a leading cause of kidney failure, lower limb amputations, and adult blindness. And adults with diabetes face twice the risk of heart disease and stroke compared to those without it. The A1C test measures average blood sugar levels over the past 3 months, providing a clearer and more reliable picture than a standard glucose test, explains Dr. Jorge Rios, medical director for the American Red Cross. Dr. Rios knows this firsthand. He discovered he had diabetes through an A1C test, which allowed him to act before serious complications developed. 8 years ago, during a medical convention, I came down with what I thought was the flu. I was so exhausted I couldn't even leave my hotel room, recalls Dr. Rios. Weeks later, the fatigue continued. My doctor tested my A1C. It was almost 7. The normal range is 5.7 or less. That's when I was diagnosed with diabetes. Dr. Rios immediately changed his diet, began exercising, and started medication. Today, his diabetes is well managed, and his message is clear. If you have a parent, sibling, or grandparent with diabetes, get tested. And perhaps once a year, ask your doctor to test you if you have symptoms like I did, which was feeling very tired. It's an easy test and can save your life, said Dr. Rios. Know your numbers so you can make lifestyle changes, dispelling common myths. Misinformation often prevents people from seeking help. Here are some common myths about diabetes and the truths behind them. Myth: herbs or home remedies can cure diabetes. Truth: diabetes needs medical care and ongoing management. Myth: only older people get diabetes. Truth: it can affect anyone, including kids and young adults. Myth: if you feel fine, you don't need testing. Truth: diabetes can be silent for years. Fatigue may be the only sign. Myth: diabetes is a death sentence. Truth: with treatment and healthy habits, people can live full lives. Myth: people with diabetes can't donate blood. Truth: if well managed, they can donate safely. Get tested during November. To receive your free A1C result, make a successful blood, platelet, or plasma donation and ensure you haven't received an A1C test through the Red Cross in the past 12 months. Results will appear within 1 to 2 weeks in the Red Cross Blood Donor app or at redcrossblood.org. If your A1C is elevated, follow up with your health care provider. As a thank you, all who come to give October 27th through November 16th, 2025, will get $20 in e-gift cards to a choice of merchant, plus automatic entry for a chance to win one of three $5,000 prizes. See redcrossblood.org/harvest. Additionally, donors who give blood between November 17th and December 7th will receive a pair of exclusive Red Cross X Pac-Man socks while supplies last. About the American Red Cross. The American Red Cross shelters, feeds, and provides comfort to victims of disasters, supplies about 40% of the nation's blood, teaches skills that saves lives, distributes international humanitarian aid, and supports veterans, military members, and their families. The Red Cross is a nonprofit organization that depends on volunteers and the generosity of the American public to deliver its mission. For more information, please visit redcross.org or cruzrojaamericana.org or follow us on social media. from ACB.org, urgent calls to speak out regarding the Department of Education reductions in force. Dear ACB members, leaders, and affiliates, on October 11th, the U.S. Department of Education enacted sweeping layoffs that have left the Office of Special Education Programs, OSEP, the Rehabilitation Services Administration, RSA, and the Office of Civil Rights, OCR, nearly dismantled. This follows a major reduction earlier this year that had already cut nearly half of the workforce. These cuts removed the very staff responsible for enforcing the IDEA, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and the Rehabilitation Act, putting critical protections for students and adults with disabilities at serious risk. Although there have been updates, we remain concerned that these layoffs may proceed. If these decisions stand, core functions our field relies on, teacher preparation grants, research projects, federal quota implementation, accessible educational materials, early intervention, deafblind services, VR monitoring, older blind services, and Randolph Shepherd entrepreneurship programs, will be effectively non-functional. Oversight, expertise, and enforcement cannot happen when offices are dark, cubicles sit empty, and staff are gone. It takes just a minute to use our advocacy platform to contact your congressional representatives. Please take action now. The American Council of the Blind, ACB, Vision Serve Alliance, the Association for Education and Rehabilitation of the Blind and Visually Impaired, AER, ask you to join us to advocate. As you receive responses from your congressional representatives, please share how these decisions directly affect your work and the lives of children, working-age adults, and older individuals who are blind or have low vision. While it is natural to want to defend the dedicated professionals who have served our field, our message to Congress must remain focused and clear. These staffing cuts must be undone, and the department must be restored to fulfill its legally mandated role. AER has provided additional background documents on OSEP, RSA, and OCR to use now or in the future as you advocate for the department's continued viability. These materials were developed independently and are being made publicly available to provide individuals and groups with clear, comprehensive information. This information communicates the department's vital role in the lives of people with disabilities and its impact on the professionals and service systems that support them. Posted October 20th, 2025. There are hot links to the documents mentioned on OSEP, RSA, and OCR. The Foundation Fighting Blindness at fightingblindness.org posted advances and updates on the 24th regarding a lot of visual conditions: Usher syndrome, age-related macular degeneration, Stargardt disease, Leber congenital amaurosis, and retinitis pigmentosa research advances. I will read some of those results in the upcoming weeks, but I'm running out of time for this week's Vision News. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Vote! Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.